children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
For this election day special, I hope the nation unfriends Donald Trump.
God damn it.
I hope they do. We'll find out. We'll probably know by Friday.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Oh, I still need to get to...
Hopefully I won't delete this episode.
It's okay. You won't. MP3 right away. Right away.
Okay, so...
Oh, it's fine. It's just our lost brilliant episode. We have him back for... No?
I know, yeah, I know.
Pretty psyched about it.
Good. No, I'm just super bummed because, like, literally, I didn't realize, I don't know if you know this, but Audacity files just take up a shit ton of space.
They do. They're fucking huge.
And I opened my computer, and it was like, you have 3 gigs of space left on your computer. And I'm like, that's concerning. And I was like, oh, all of them are MP3 files. I can just delete the Audacity ones because they're published. I don't have to touch them again.
Yep, I did that also before. But like,
but I accidentally deleted an episode.
Yeah, the main one.
Because anyway,
there's no way to recover that. They're too big. They just disappear right away.
They're gone, and I also
It's Apple. They'll just be done.
And I emptied my trash, so it was like gone. It was capital G gone.
Damn.
It was my fault. It was an honest mistake. I've had a very weird week.
Yes, it makes sense. No, that's why I'm like, I'm not going to get mad at you. It's fine.
Well, also, like, I don't think you've ever gotten mad at me about anything.
No, that's true.
For that, I am eternally grateful because you're the best.
Yeah, see? Aw. I would only get mad if I wrote the episode. I'm like, all that work. No.
God damn it.
Mm.
It's fine.
No, we're okay. You just got a job offer. You're good.
I know. I will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And now I just have, you know, this week off.
And you're going to get an iPhone 12 and more money. See?
Yeah.
Isn't that...
Yeah, the only thing is now I'm... I know. The only thing is now I'm commuting.
Yeah, it's going to be a bitch.
Yeah, to San Gabriel Valley every day.
We're going to have to move to the east of Los Angeles then, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
You should.
Like, yeah.
I think it'll be fun.
I was thinking Pasadena.
I like Pasadena. It is a lot like Orange County in that you can park places.
Yeah, that's what I like. I like parking.
Yeah, you can park.
I like having parking.
It's a lot like Orange County in that I think about it. Wow.
Then I'll probably end up moving to Pasadena.
And it's so much closer to LA, too. Yeah. Like, you can just, like, 15 minutes.
Great.
And you're at the... Nah, more like 20 minutes. But, like, you know.
That's fine.
Depends on the day.
That's fine.
Oof. I go to Pasadena every day, every week. Wow.
There's a lot of side conversation.
I know. No, it's fine. That's how we get our you know,
get the banter rolling.
Yes, more accurate word. I don't know where I was going with that one. That was weird. My brain got all dummy.
It's fine.
God, I can't believe how like old this movie is now. This is so weird.
Yeah, well, it was filmed in 2013.
Yeah, it's very...
Or 2013.
You can tell by the UI.
Yeah, you can tell. It was very funny before we... Well, actually, welcome back, everyone, another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast. I fucked up this week. This was supposed to come out later, but it's coming out this week. And happy election. Terrifying election.
Listen, yeah. We don't know 100% of the results yet.
No.
Right now, it's pretty swingy. Yeah. But I am hoping, you know, again, the nation unfriends Donald Trump.
Yes.
We need to, as a collective.
Yeah.
I hit something.
fuck Anthony. Okay. So today, welcome back. I'm your host, Alex. With me, as always, is Anthony, the other host.
Mm-hmm. I like to say the other hoe. I'm like, whoa. I mean, okay, but not everybody needs to know the extent.
You don't have to be accurate about it. We were talking about Unfriended from 2014.
It is a really interesting film. We covered the dark web before.
We covered dark web in season 2.
Yes, in November.
In November.
It kicked off November, actually.
So
look at us
bringing it full circle.
On accident.
Totally on accident. But no, we covered this last year, last November, and it was very fun. I love Dark Web. I also enjoy Unfriended. Mm-hmm. And so this was one where I was just like, we can talk about this too. I don't give a fuck.
This is the one I believe we were flipped because I like this one more than Dark Web, but...
Interesting.
But we'll talk about it. Talk about it the same way IMDb talks about it with this fucking synopsis. What do we got? A group of online chat room friends find themselves haunted by a mysterious supernatural force using the account of their dead friend.
I mean, yeah, that's the movie.
Mm-hmm. I would say they were friends outside of the online. It's not like they met each other in the chat.
Well, yeah.
IMDb, come on. No.
Yeah, online chat room friends. They all go to high school together.
Friends that are in an online chat room. Anyways. Stupid. This is directed by Lavon Leo Gabriadze. Gabriadze. Okay. This is produced by Timur Bekmambetov.
Bekmambetov? I don't know.
Bekmambetov and Nelson Greaves. And it was, of course, written by... The latter, Nelson Greaves. Now, this stars Shelley Hennig as Blair Lilly. Wow, that's a shitty character name. Moses Storm as Mitch Rousel.
Oh, Rousel?
Rousel. Moses Storm. These are porn names. So, Renee Alstead as Jess Felton. You can mix these up. Mm-hmm. Will Peltz as Adam Sewell.
Yeah.
Sewell?
Sewell.
And then Jacob Wysocki as Ken Smith. Wysocki. Why not Soju?
Wysocki.
And then, of course, Courtney Halverson as Val Rommel.
I don't know.
Okay, we're like this, like, flair, like, Rommel. And this, of course, was released in July 20th. 2014 at the Fantasia Festival, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And of course, it hit us wide on good old April 17th, 2015. And it was budgeted very, very cheaply at $1 million. Holds pinky. Yes, $1 million.
$1 million.
Yep, for this fucking movie. And it made 64 times that.
Oh, yeah.
$64.1 million. That's pretty good. That's a...
It had the Paranormal Activity treatment.
Yes, it definitely did. So, quick disclaimer before we head up into this bitch. This episode, we're going to probably talk a lot about suicide and the election, of course, which we kind of preceded here. So, as always, we cope with jokes made out of love and personal experience, but, of course, take care of yourselves first.
It's a stressful time for everyone, and this movie is probably not. I watched it last night to avoid the election, which is probably saying something.
Yeah. Oh, I watched it it's getting dark earlier. Uh-huh. So daylight savings was like, I was like, hey, it's dark like at 5. I'm slapping on this Unfriended. And I was like pillow cuddled up and that was the whole thing. And I forgot how much of like a UI movie this is.
I should have watched it on my computer.
I feel like that would have added a lot. That's true. But, you know, whatevs.
But also, I have a big TV, so...
Exactly. I can't even imagine what this looks like in theaters.
I did see it in theaters.
This one?
Yeah.
We'll find out. We'll talk about it. Okay. But we gotta talk about some other shit. So, Alex, bring us into the episode, ma'am.
Okay. You got it. So, Nelson Greaves did not initially grasp the idea of the film, but the producer, Timur Bekmambetov, had to pitch the general plot a bunch of times to him before he could pretty much understand the idea. Meanwhile, director Leo Gabriadze was attracted to the project when it was still titled Offline, as it focused on the theme of bullying. He noted that the nature of bullying had changed since he was in school, as the internet had allowed for bullies to continue their actions even after school hours.
Oh, that's a good point.
So,
and strangers.
Yeah, well, because of that, this movie is actually inspired and based off of the two real-life suicides of Amanda Todd and Audrey Pott.
Mm.
We are not a true crime podcast, and it's very sad, so here is an overview.
Before we get into that, Offline is a much dumber name.
Yes, there are two alternative names for this movie, and they're both equally fucking stupid.
Okay, so Offline was the other one.
Oh my gosh, you were actually gonna get into it.
Okay, I'll get into it when we get.
And when
I'll have my genuine reaction.
When
like,
you get to it, you're gonna be like, "Oh, are you fucking kidding me?"
They may have just called it stupid movie.
Yes, yes, that is exactly
stupid
right.
Stupid movie 2014.
So on September 7th, 2012, Amanda Todd posted a 9-minute YouTube video titled "My Story: Struggling, Bullying, Suicide, Self Harm." This is that really famous video where it plays "Breathe Me" by Sia, and she's doing all the.
I remember the shit.
And there was also a little homage to it in Unfriended.
Mm-hmm.
Because Laura Barnes does the same thing.
The whole thing at the end, yes. Mm-hmm.
Which basically it shows her using a series of flashcards to tell her experiences being bullied. This video did go viral after her death on October 10th, 2012. Her attacker would follow her from school to school by circulating naked images of her among her classmates every time she switched schools.
What a bitch.
Yeah, and it was like this like random guy. Basically, she was doing like chat roulette or whatever, and he like basically tricked her into like stripping, and he took screenshots of it. And this is when she was in like 7th grade.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah.
Dude.
So the whole thing is super, super fucked. So she was a victim of cyber stalking and bullying and moved schools and cities several times. She attempted suicide twice. This continued from 2009 to 2012, and it concluded with her subsequent suicide. The Wikipedia article is way more thorough than this. If you're interested, it's mm-hmm. actually a very interesting true crime story in terms of cyberbullying and like the laws that came out of it.
Yeah, so this is like a foundational, I would imagine.
Absolutely, kind of, yeah. This and then the next story both actually had laws because this was in Canada.
Oh, spoiler, real quick, can I ask for a spoiler here?
Sure.
Did they ever find this fucker?
I think so.
Okay, I gotta look more into it. I can't remember. I just feel like this is on one of those YouTube channels I see all the time before I go to bed.
For some reason, I thought this would be a really good case file episode.
Yeah, it would be. Oh, I hope they found this piece of shit.
Yeah.
Ooh, that is seven. Dude, like, why would you follow somebody, like, get your goddamn rocks off?
He would make fake Facebook accounts and, like, disseminate these images amongst all of her new friends.
Oh, what
and,
a piece of shit.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh.
So on, and then the story of Aubrey Pott. So on mm-hmm. September 3rd, 2012, she went to a party with about 10 other teenagers. A few kids had stolen alcohol, and an adult had bought them more alcohol at a liquor store. Once she was drunk, she was dragged up the stairs into a bedroom, and she was sexually assaulted by 3 or more teenagers.
Mm-mm-mm.
3 of the 16-year-old boys that she was with, that she knew, eventually pleaded guilty and served time in juvenile hall for sexual assault. And then, you know, markers were used to draw on right on her body, and photographs were taken and distributed via social networks and text chains.
I feel like I've actually seen this one also on a video.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this one I've seen talked
about. Well,
because
this one, there's also a... this happened in California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that probably makes it more closer
and
to home,
it's a,
too.
And this was in 2012, so it's still pretty recent. And, like, this is when Jerry Brown was still governor.
Mm.
But he, like, signed stuff into law about, like, photographing people and then also, like, having sex with teenagers when they're drunk. Like, don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm surprised that wasn't already on the books.
Oh no, it was not.
Oh, Jesus.
Or at least it was stricter. Mm-hmm. So in the following days, Pott was bullied by those who saw the photographs, and on September 12th, 2012, she committed suicide.
Yeesh.
So, really intense shit. So those are the two stories that inspired this story, which if you know those going into it, it's kind of like a revenge story.
It is, and it makes it very interesting because they depict the circumstances pretty well.
Yes.
Like, in terms of, like, teenage bullshit.
And if you know that going into it, it combines
mm-hmm.
the two stories very well.
It does, yeah. And it not, like, doesn't feel shoehorned at all.
No.
Actually,
they're integrated very well.
And, man, that's fucked up. Oof, I don't know, I did not like that. I am definitely going to have to look at the former case, just because I don't remember it too much.
Yeah.
I knew kind of like, this is a Cliff Notes version, but I knew like a more vague Cliff Notes.
Yeah, so that's the extent we're going to talk about the nitty gritty. Like I said, we're not a true crime podcast. No. And we don't ever want to, like, purposely upset anyone, so.
That's true. I mean, this is a hard one. But it's also... I don't know. It's weird. Anyways, we got to get to the production here.
Please.
Eventually, this all helped influence a very interesting film. So, and the film is technically an independent film. due to no studio being attached until good old 2014 when Universal had acquired the rights with a little help from Blumhouse. Of course, because it's the 2000s now. They are everywhere. Goddamn fucking... Ugh. I do like them, but still.
Oh, yeah.
They're everywhere. They're taking all my properties.
Have you seen any of the Amazon Blumhouse, like the four movies they put out?
No. Which ones are these?
No, they're brand new ones. Like, it's like this, like, Blumhouse, like...
Was it the Craft Legacy?
Was no.
That? No?
No. They're, like, four completely original ones. I was, like... It was...
Ooh, okay.
They're, like, Amazon originals or whatever, whatever.
Gotta check that out because I do have access to your account.
Yes, you do. You the one who watched Hereditary on my account?
It's very possible. No, okay. I watched it on the Blu-ray.
Interesting.
Yeah,
because I went to go watch Hereditary for the first time, by the way, and it was like watch again, and I was like again.
Wait, I did watch it a long time ago when I first got access to the account. I was like, even though I had the Blu-ray, I was like, I don't feel like getting up and getting it.
So I'm just gonna use Alex's.
So okay. Yeah,
because it was like watch again. I'm like, I've never seen it ever. Is that okay?
Just drops you right in the middle of the most important. Ooh, that movie. Hey, we'll talk about that eventually. Anyways.
Well, now that I've seen it, I can talk about it.
Yes. But as mentioned previously, the film was originally titled Offline, and then it was... Oh, that's so stupid.
Anthony, your face. Oh, that was gold. I wish I could have recorded that. Oh, that was fucking funny.
And then this movie was given the title after Offline of Cybernatural.
That's a poor name.
That is totally a poor name. Starring whatever Storm guy that guy was fucking named after. I don't know. Whatever it is. I don't care. Anyways, did they finally retitle it to Unfriended? And of course, as Alex typed in this outline, thank God that it was. Yeah, I 100% agree. Holy shit.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, that's stupid.
Cybernatural. Jesus. That would have... Oh, no. No box office there. Anyways, so the film's producer, Timur Bekmambetov, conceived the general idea of the film, and as revealed by screenwriter Nelson Greaves, had the idea of setting a film on a computer desktop back in 1999 to early 2000, actually, marking almost a full 15 years before the film came into actual production.
That's some dedication. They waited.
Yeah. That would have been kind of dumb.
Uh-huh.
You'd be like, you like the Tom Hanks movie, You Got Mail. Well, how about this?
However... there is a really... I watched it for my Halloween challenge. There's a really, really great Japanese horror film called Pulse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's from the early 2000s.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. So it can be done. And it's very similar to this.
I have heard of that. I never actually watched it, though.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I remember hearing about that one, though.
Oh, my gosh. I think it's even earlier. Like wait. Okay, yeah. It's from 2001.
Jeez. Yeah.
So, and yeah, it's all through the computer and like, it's like floppy disks and shit. Like, it's pretty intense. But no, I like, so it can totally be done. But anyway.
It's funny because like the Japanese version in around that time period was like trying to do it legit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had like that Frankie Muniz movie in America, like Stay Alive or some shit. Do you remember that?
We've talked about this several times. The video game one, yes. The one about Elizabeth Bathory.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
I'm just like, that's how we're going to handle technology right now? Is that how it's going to be fictional?
We have to cover that at some point because I had to watch that movie at least 3 or 4 times because someone who will not be named loved that movie.
I tried watching. Ugh.
So,
I watched it when I was younger, but I think it was one of those early times where I was like, okay, one time. Good enough. Good enough. Fuck that movie.
Oh, man.
We're totally going to have to talk shit about that one. I'm
for
down.
Sure.
I'm down. Anyways, so back to keep the film suspenseful and believable, each take had script alterations on the fly, and the cast were encouraged to improvise and react to the unexpected story changes. They did a goddamn good job, these motherfuckers.
There's a lot that goes into this.
Seriously, they try to play it super legit. So in the beginning, the team had actors read in the room with them. But it soon became quite clear that they needed to audition in front of a computer. So the casting process took place just that way, in two different rooms via video chat. And the cast was chosen based upon those auditions. Clever.
Like, it makes sense.
It makes total sense.
It's just like,
yeah.
I'm like, wow.
I mean, nowadays it would make even more sense to be like, don't even have him drive over here. Parking shit. just zoom it. Zoom it.
Well, especially in the time of COVID.
Yes, exactly. It's like, I don't want these fucking actors coughing. You know, they went to bars and shit. No. Producers being assholes. Good impression. So, the main actors and actresses all auditioned for their respective roles via Skype and had a set group audition where they were required to play off of one another. Shelley Hennig, Moses Storm, that's the porn guy, mm-hmm. and Will Peltz landed their respective roles upon those first initial auditions. However, Jacob Wysocki and Courtney Halverson tried in a second audition to embody the complete personality of what they believed the filmmakers wanted for the characters. So upon their second joint audition, they landed their parts as Ken Smith and Valerie Rommel. So all filmed in one house with all the cast members in different rooms except for Ken.
Poor Ken.
Yeah.
Fuck Ken.
Ken, no. Get the fuck out of here, dude. You don't fucking use deodorant. No. So the house located in Santa Clarita, California, is an actual residence. And during the production team's search, Nelson Greaves had to have a place that could accommodate the crew, as well as have separate rooms for each cast member. And they did, I feel like, their rooms and ambiance pretty well.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It looks like they're totally in different neighborhoods and shit.
This is all in the same house.
That's Hollywood. All right. Movie magic. Anyways. So this, of course, was to create the illusion that each room was in a different location in Fresno, California.
Fucking Fresno, man.
Right. So naturally, all these rooms needed to be designed differently as well. Yeah. In Fresno, really? Anyway,
so. Well, yeah, that whole time it was just like, we're in Fresno. And I'm like, I would be crying my eyes out, too. Mm-hmm. I was about to make a really insensitive joke. I know, I'd be killing myself, too.
Yeah.
I was in, oh, my gosh. As someone who lived in the Central Valley for 2 years, and it was probably the worst 2 years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Get out. Or. Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised their connection was so smooth out there. You know, those people aren't paying for the good fucking Google Fiber out there.
No fiber optics.
No 5G over there, dude. Mm-mm, that's a 3GS town.
In Fresno.
Do you have any Fresno listeners? I have no idea. I'm sorry, people. You know, I know you can't give us a review because the 3G connection's not good.
It's not going to load very well.
But I mean, if you do, 5 stars. We appreciate it. Yeah, we appreciate it. Fresno's okay. She rolled her eyes. Sorry. Anyways.
At least it's not Tulare.
Oh, jeez. Wait, so one of my college friends was from there. Ah, we're getting too off track.
I mean, that's where I was, like, that's where I lived for 2 years.
Tulare. Yeah.
Fuck.
All right, so on to much better topics.
Beyond Fresno, California.
So, the cast were led to believe that they were merely only the victims, and Laura was the bully. It wasn't until after editing was the entire plot revealed actually to the cast. So, that's pretty cool. They're, like, actually playing it pretty straight.
Yeah. So, then the whole time they're just going through it being like, ha ha ha, I'm the victim here, except just kidding.
I bet this fucking producer guy was like, he's been thinking about this for years.
He's been sitting on it for a while.
He's like, oh, how do I make these performances legit? And he thought about them in, like, 2007.
Yeah.
So, Renee Olstead and Courtney Halverson, under director LaVon Gabriel's instruction, watched dozens of recorded web chat videos between friends, which resulted in arguments. To torture yourself, please. So, of course, in order to prepare for the Jess and Val arguments over the tagged photos. Now, Olsen Halverson, yes, commented that they could not believe the lengths modern teenagers would go to argue online. I can believe it.
I can believe
it. Yeah, I can believe that.
But
like,
also,
you can't do shit. We are apart.
Their argument on like just like the yelling in this was just like a little too real. I was just
legit.
I'm like, I am having some flashbacks that I would like to not have right now.
I was just like, what? She's being a bitch.
She's being a cunt. What do you want?
Yeah, come on. That's funny. So to make the film as realistic as possible, but also make sure technology didn't get in the way, the filmmakers created a mock Skype interface for the film to avoid technical issues such as lag. And anyone who has used Skype or ever, you know, has of course experienced this or done remote podcasting, which sometimes gives you that little like mechanic, like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, no, I just said regular words.
Yeah, I like that though.
Nelson Greaves and Levon Gabriadze, I'm going to say it different every time, played the mysterious Skype ghost slash bully for the cast through earpieces in order to guide them through their scenes. Ooh. Okay.
You just have a little ghost voice in your ear being like, okay, mm-hmm. I just told you that you're sleeping with your best friend's girlfriend.
And you're not a virgin. You're not a virgin. Go.
You're not a virgin. Oh, God.
You're not a virgin. What the fuck? What? Oh, that's funny. So production was 16 days total, actually. That's fucking fast. Including 6 12-hour days of principal photography. 3 days of pickups, and then a few more reshoots. So, wow, that's quick turnaround. 15 years, 16 days. Jesus, that is a gestating idea right there. So, when filming began, it was mostly consisted of long takes around 10 minutes in length. So, Shelley Hennig, who portrayed Blair, found that this proved difficult for the energy and motivation needed from her and, of course, the other actors. Which is, wow, interesting, because they do seem pretty on it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So at her request, at least one full 80-minute long take was filmed with each actor in separate rooms with separate computers. That is crazy.
They did one whole take of this shit.
Oh, that's without cut. That's crazy. That's a lot of endurance. Damn. So, of course, actually, the film's ending was captured during one of these feature-length takes. That's cool. Huh?
That is rough. Like,
that's hard. But like, I guess to keep the flow. That
well, also
makes
to
sense.
Keep you like in the mindset. Mm-hmm. Like that would make sense.
Mm-hmm. No, I can totally understand that. That's pretty cool. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So they had to market this movie. So, mm-hmm. So the marketing for Unfriended is part of what made it so popular. It leaned into social media, and it leaned into social media hard.
Oh, yeah.
So all of the Facebook and Skype accounts shown in the film exist and can be found on Facebook and Skype. Like,
so weird.
That they're out there. I don't know about now, you know, 6 years later, but...
hasn't logged in since 2012. Like, what?
So the complete user interface with Skype, Gmail, YouTube, etc. was fully translated into the non-English versions as well for their other distributions.
Okay.
Which, I mean, the UI in this is so fun.
Oh, yeah. No, it's...
like, for me in particular, like, just as, like, a fucking little computer nerd in this time frame.
Well, they tackle haunted UI pretty interesting.
That's true.
Where's this code coming from?
So, like, this is how much Unfriended was marketed online. 60% of the marketing budget was spent on digital platforms.
I do remember these being in, like different ad placements back in the day. Like,
ye old Facebook ads.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Newsfeed and fucking,
Right column. That's it.
Right column.
Yeah. It was newsfeed and right column. This is inside marketing humor.
I know, right? We're like, don't we use this all the time?
For those of you who don't work in a marketing agency. So in July of 2014, a teaser trailer was released with scenes from the film. The teaser shows the original stupid title for the film, which was at the time Cybernatural. And on January 12, 2015, the film's first official trailer with the title Unfriended was released. And thank God.
I mean, it was still kind of got a laugh in the theaters from what I remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people were like, Unfriended, this is fucking stupid. But Cybernatural would have just made them shit their pants.
Oh, yeah, they would have just been like, I'm so glad that they renamed it. Oh, my God.
No, 100%.
So shortly after, on February 6, 2015, the film was screened at Playlist Live, apparently a popular convention for internet celebrities from Vine. Remember Vine?
Oh, no.
And YouTube.
Haunted Vine account. Ooh. Ooh.
Thank goodness there was no Vine in this, because then it would have aged it so bad.
Oh my God, terribly. They went with like the big dogs.
Yeah. This is also
Apple and Facebook. They ain't gonna die.
This is also worse. So on February 13th, 2015, a campaign was launched on Kick.
Oh my God.
In which Kick users could have a chat conversation with Laura. This is obviously made use of automated responses and pre-scripted responses while also driving users to a dedicated microsite. Just like, I've only ever used Kick to like chat with sketchy people from dating apps. Like,
I've never even done it for that, but I feel like that's like its main appeal. Like,
yeah.
Stalkers are gonna be like, well, okay.
Or people who like don't have U.S. phone numbers. I don't know.
We match 4,000 miles away. Hey.
Hey. I was in Europe last week, but now, or like, I was here, now I'm back in Europe. Like,
no, it says 4,000 miles away, but it says L.A. resident. You're like, no.
That's a lie.
That is an account. Those are all filtered really hard.
So, on March 13th, 2015, after the film's premiere at the South by Southwest Festival, an after party was hosted by Blumhouse, and exclusive Never Have I Ever cards were released at South by Southwest later, and a Never Have I Ever section was set up at on the film's official website. There was also Unfriended themed photo booths as well.
Look at this digital age fucking production
just,
here,
like,
dude.
Like I said, they were just they literally just funneled 60% of their budget into digital shit. And they were just like, look at us.
Wow, that's weird.
Yeah. So, during production, official Facebook and Skype accounts, like I mentioned, were set up for the characters in the film, and after the premiere at South by Southwest, people who attended were friended by the official Laura Barnes Facebook account. There was also a Twitter account, which tweeted attendees of the after party.
Oh my god, these motherfuckers. This guy, 15 years, he's just like, we are gonna get some asses in seats.
I need butts in seats. So this might not seem like the biggest deal now, but in 2013, 14, 15, people were intrigued.
Yeah, no, this is like hard. This is hardcore shit.
Well, like, for example, for like when Bly Manor came out, I would, like, the Bly Manor Twitter account, like, tweeted me because I, like, retweeted one of their stuff, and they were just like, you're expected. And I was like, oh shit, I'm expected.
Who's this marketing person? God damn.
Right? So finally, with a much cooler name, Unfriended, and with some help from Universal and Blumhouse, this bitch was ready for a wide release.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was, which I didn't see in theaters, unfortunately, but. You did.
I did.
All right. So its opening weekend is the biggest debut, actually, for an original horror movie since 2013's The Conjuring, which opened with $41.9 million in July. So Unfriended grossed $32.5 million in North America and $31.6 million in other territories for a worldwide gross of $64.1 million against that good old $1 million budget, which is really good. People got rich off of this shit.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes gives the film an approval rating of 61% based on 184 reviews with an average of 6 out of 10. Huh. It's kind of low.
Yeah.
So, the site's critical consensus reads, quote unquote, Unfriended subverts found footage horror cliches to deliver a surprisingly scary entry in the teen slasher genre with a technological twist.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. So reception at the Fantasia Film Festival was mostly positive. Common praise for the film centered upon its acting and, of course, the visuals, which blew the titties off of people in 2013. Twitch Film commented that the film was an, quote-unquote, interesting look at modern methods of communication and the ramifications of the new normal of always on social interaction.
We are
trying to say something profound about this movie about...
I use the word ramifications.
Ramifications.
Oh, we're dicks.
Yeah. Twitch, fucking Twitch Film, fucking A. So, Variety, a much more reputable source than Twitch Film, commented that while the film was, quote-unquote, exasperating at points, they also felt that it was clever and innovative. It was pretty exasperating at points.
When, you know, you have a bunch of teenagers screeching at each other and other people crying and screaming, and it's just like... And I think the... Okay, I'm going to pause right here and I'm going to spoil some of my thoughts. I think the older you get, the less this movie appeals to you. I think that... Because, like, if you watch this when you are, like, 19 years old, you're like, yeah, that's fucking realistic as shit.
Interesting. I don't know. Older I got, more I found it interesting.
Interesting.
But I feel like I'm so far removed from these fucking kids. Like, I'm just like, oh, okay, well, this, like, is how they did
it. Okay, I think, like... Well, you're also...
I'm a little bit older. this did not come out at a time when I was a part of this demographic.
Well, that's the thing. That's what interests me. Because, like, I'm also just like... I think you're a little bit more in touch with the youth of America than, I don't know, I would say the person who wrote the Variety review of
probably,
this.
Probably, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, definitely.
Like, I would say, like, when this came out, 2013, like, anyone who was over 30 when mm-hmm. this came out, probably.
Oh, yeah, they had a hard time with it for sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Definitely, definitely. Oh, that's funny. So, but we'll talk about that.
Momentarily.
We're getting into it. However, Dread Central, they actually praised the film overall, but stated that they felt that the movie's one major flaw was, quote, the fashion in which we are trafficked to each scare through multi-screen clicking, copying, pasting, and resizing, basically all-around multitasking. It can be trying to sit through, and I liken it to sitting over someone's shoulder, watching them web surf endlessly.
Honestly, how do you feel about that quote?
I did want to bring in a point. This is so much more a UI movie than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen it a bunch of times because my nephews love this movie. And, yeah, I know. They watched it when they were, like, 9. It was weird. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
You a
know,
guy you know sticks how- his hand into a blender.
You do know.
I know your family. Yes. I get your family. But they, what?
We like scary movies.
I get it.
They watch this and The Shining back to back. How about
The
that?
The Shining isn't that gory, though.
Yeah, we watch some gory shit. I don't know. Yeah, they like, I mean, it. Whatever. I watched it with them. We all sat as a family and watched
and
Unfriended.
Watched that's Unfriended just how, together.
That's how it works. Yeah, they love it. They're, you know, I mean, they're older now.
I can't say shit because, like, literally, I showed horror trailers to my mom and she's just like, no, no. I'm like, Mom, just watch Trick or Treat with me.
Oh my god, no, we watch, yeah, no, we watch this as a family for a little bit. Hey, you know, when it comes on, they all, everybody sits down and watches it.
Yeah, because it's a fun movie.
It is, it's a whole fun movie. Yeah.
So, for me, what was, I think, the most frustrating thing about this movie for me is I'm like, these, like, the editing does not set it up in a way that I'm like, a teenager does not surf the internet like this.
No, this seems like some kind of weird, like,
an adult definitely edited it and was just like, because I'm like, do you know how many fucking keyboard shortcuts I use on this bitch on a daily basis? Like, and I'm 25.
Mm-hmm. That's
like,
true.
You know what I mean?
You're not going to see the mouse move around so much.
No, or it's just like, if I need to switch screens, like, I'm not just going to, like, you know, like, mm-hmm. just click out and, like, no, I have buttons for that. I have shortcuts for that.
See? But I am a total mouse boy. Like, I'm not, in, you know, hip with the shortcuts all that good.
Yeah, it's because you're old.
I know, that's why. So I'm like, you have a point. Because to me, it's like, eh, it's fine.
Yeah, because, like, for me, I'm like, you're not going fast enough. Like, I know there's better ways to do this. At least she wasn't, like, right-clicking and was being, like, cut.
Oh, no, yeah. I'm not even that far. I will Control-C, Control-V this. Yeah, that's happening. Control-X if I need to, yes.
Wow.
Yeah, if I need to. Wow. If I'm using hard docs, you know? Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Different times.
Ancient.
So some critics found the film to contain unintentionally amusing moments that detracted from the overall experience. So Lou Lemonick of the New York Post and Lauren Schwal of Red Eye found the scenes involving Blair's pleas for help on Chat Roulette, as well as some of the phrases typed by Laura's ghost, including... But in this version of a drinking game, the loser doesn't drink, the loser dies. To be more humorous than frightening. Yeah, okay.
Okay, so the chat roulette thing, I think, was supposed to be humorous.
Yeah.
I think that was intentional.
Because people were being dicks.
Well, literally.
She's like, oh, gross.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like... I remember the days of Chat Roulette. I remember the days of Omegle. Like, I remember the wild west of the internet where it was just, like, randomly video chatting with strangers for no fucking reason.
Mm.
I didn't, because I was terrified of a pedophile coming to my house and killing me.
Yeah. That so was a reasonable didn't. Fear at that point in time. Yeah.
Because my parents put the fear of, not God, but a pedophile coming to my house and killing me.
As they damn well should have. Great job, parents. No, that's the thing, though. When you say Wild West of the Internet, to me, it was the tail end of the Wild West of the Internet.
Well, I mean,
but
yes.
It still had that, like, lack of rules. Like, you can still get away with a lot of shit.
Like, okay, that's fair. Because when I'm watching this, I'm thinking of, like, the beginning of high school for me, which was not the same time frame. Mm-hmm. But, like, the time in which people used Chat Roulette.
Yes, exactly.
And used Omegle. Yeah. Like, this was before Omegle even had a video feature. Mm-hmm. But, ugh. Yeah. No, the whole thing was just psycho.
Well, it's the one where, like, friends can ask you questions and it's all numb. It's like Foam Spring or some shit.
Form Spring. That is even further back.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the internet was literally... This was like the dying breath of the Wild West of the internet here.
Because, like, that was also the shit where, like, it was anonymous. So you could just, like, tell your friends... you could bully people and just tell them to go kill themselves.
Yeah.
Which was, like, the go-to insult was just, mm-hmm. like, either you're fat, you're ugly, no one likes you, go kill yourself. Like, that was a sentence. That was a complete sentence. That was it. It's
like, wow, you purposefully cut your hair that way every month. Maybe you should also personally cut your wrist because fucking die. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like, I don't know, like you wear a... Never mind, am I going into it?
You're getting hot right now. I can see the rage in your eyeballs. Jesus.
I could go.
Oh, we're gonna. But before we do, we gotta talk about these Letterboxd reviews.
Yes, please.
Yes, let's get it. Let's do it.
Good segue.
So, it's Letterboxd time. So, totally, to no surprise to us, this film has an average... rating of 2.3 out of 5 over 50,000 reviews.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of reviews, but the 2.3 doesn't surprise me.
Well, that'd be a little bit more. I like this movie. Anyways, so...
It does not surprise me.
Ava Davis, with 4.5 stars, says, quote-unquote, Blair doesn't know how to use a computer, and everyone bullies her about it for an hour and 20 minutes. She pisses me off sometimes. I agree. Even though I know she's trying, and if I was on the other end, I'd be like, fucking just do the regular thing everybody does. And she's like, I'm trying to just fucking on it. Like,
just empty your trash.
Yeah, dude, you whatever, Control-Alt-Delete this bitch. Like, you can.
There is no control delete on the Mac.
That's Mac. God damn it. You see with my like, PC solution.
You have to go like, yeah. I can show you, but yeah.
No, it's fine. It's not relevant to me ever. So Lucy with 4 stars, quote, do they know the computer has an off button? Unquote. Wow. Wow. Okay, yeah, that was a good one. I thought about that a couple times also. I'm like, just unplug it and don't give a shit. You're fine. You're probably not fine. It's haunted, but still.
Yeah, you're fucked, mm-hmm. but
if you did it early enough.
Probably.
Yeah, probably. They're like, oh, I can't scare her properly.
Before she says, if you leave, you die. just click.
Oh, no. What happened? My power went out. Are you going to kill me now?
The director and the producer actually had a counter-argument for that.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, this was supposed to be like, they made it sound way more highbrow than this fucking movie is. But they were just like, oh, it's about like teenagers and their addiction to the internet and their addiction to technology. And I was just like, no, it's not. It's about it's not...
mm-hmm.
I'm not...
You're like, this is a 90-minute cash-in right here. I don't care how long it took. No, it's not.
It's not a cash-in, because, like, I don't think they... I don't know if they expected this movie to do well or what, but, like, yeah.
16 days, it's like, okay, producer, like, you made all this money for us. I'm going to let you have your little fucking pet project. You get 2 weeks, maybe a little more.
And $1 million.
Yeah, $1 million, dude. Yeah, find some fucking whatever Storm Brother fucking the name is.
Well, it's funny, because Blair, that actress, mm-hmm. she's one of the main characters in Teen Wolf, MTV's Teen Wolf.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Which was funny, because if you looked at her tabs on the top of her computer, she had, like, Forever 21, and, like, Jezebel, and then it had MTV's Teen Wolf.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay, that's pretty lit. That's good. That's clever.
Which was one of the first things I actually noticed, because when I saw this movie... in theaters.
Oh my god, you were all about that. You were part of the Teen Wolf fan club back in the day, or what's going on?
I don't want to talk. Okay, you know what? I'm going to fucking talk. Yeah, we'll talk quick. About Do you want me to talk about
bit,
it now or
a little
later?
Bit. Let's do it. No, no. Let's get on it now before I finish these reviews. Teen Wolf fan club. Were you, like, admin, or what happened?
I was obsessed. I was front row for the Teen Wolf panel at Comic-Con for two years.
Damn. Look at you.
I have the name tags from two of the stars from Comic-Con in my room, right? I mean, they're not hanging up. They're hidden away in mm-hmm. shame. But, yeah. Yeah. I have one from one of the stars, Dylan O'Brien, and then Holland Roden.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, okay. All right. It's Teen Wolf over here.
I was very into Teen Wolf for, like, I want to say, like, my junior and senior. Yeah. Yeah, my junior, senior year of high school, and then, like, my first year of college.
That's so strange, because the disparity of your hosts here, my association with Teen Wolf is Michael J. Fox.
Nope.
Yep.
Never seen it.
Michael J. Fox.
It's for me, it's the M, because like the MTV like remake is so much darker.
Oh no, absolutely. It's a different vibe.
It like they took like the same premise and then just went completely off the walls. You mean
is there no slam dunk from The Wolf?
They play lacrosse.
I don't know. I need Michael J. Fox.
There's, you know,
doing a flip.
Michael J. Fox doesn't even make a cameo.
Well, I mean, given the circumstances, it makes sense. But still, yeah, that's so weird. Okay, you know what? No, I gotta.
It's so much more like werewolf based and like creature feature based.
Yeah,
like,
it seems like a show. Like they're trying to make like a legit program, but Teen Wolf was just like, we need Michael J. Fox in another movie. What's some weird kooky concept we can get this fucker in? Because he has that Back to the Future heat. It was Teen Wolf.
Yeah. And then he went on to do The Frighteners.
Oh my god. Okay, yeah. Which we'll have to cover one of these days, too. Because I want to talk about Michael J. Fox for sure. And Teen Wolf. That'd be fun. Teen Wolf versus Teen Wolf. Remake versus OG. Let's do it.
You bring your arguments, I bring mine.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, man.
It's going to be based around that basketball scene, which is a spoiler.
I mean, but there's much better badass lacrosse scenes.
This is not a badass basketball scene at all. This is yeah.
That's the thing though. Is like it's apples and oranges. Dude.
Oh no, yeah,
like,
it is.
Because Teen Wolf, like your Teen Wolf, is like it's a comedy.
Yeah, a mostly intentional comedy. Maybe I don't know. It's weird. It's that goofy dumb shit. Like, oh, it's fun. But you're right. That yours
and then mine is a narrative. Like, well, kind of, but it's like it's a teen. Like basically, it's. It's a supernatural, like, it's supposed to be thriller-y, but yeah, it's very dark for a teenager, for an MTV program. You did this, you opened up this can of worms. But no, I could talk about this forever. This was one of my quarantine rewatches because I was, because I needed to regress to high school because I was in my feelings, so I rewatched the first season.
Okay, I've literally seen Teen Wolf maybe twice.
Then so, not the movie.
The movie.
No, not the movie.
No, I know you're not saying the movie. Talking, I'm just saying that I don't have as strong a quarantine rewatch attachment to my Teen Wolf.
Teen Wolf is what got me into graphic design. I downloaded Photoshop and learned how to make GIFs because of Teen Wolf.
That's pretty cool. All right. And for Teen Wolf, MTV's Teen Wolf right there. I did nothing productive for watching that movie. I was a kid, and I'm like, I didn't want to play basketball.
I was also like, keep in mind, I was the dorkiest dork, like, closet case in high school, and I, like, hyperfixated on, like, anything that made me feel anything ever. So, like, Teen Wolf was, like, it for me. Like, I hyperfixated on that like a motherfucker.
I mean, 2 years in a row, front there, you got badges.
Yeah.
That adorn a box somewhere.
Yeah, I could, like, literally just show you, but I'm not going to.
we'll post on the Instagram. So,
oh my god, I'll die.
Back to Letterboxd.
Dylan O'Brien signed mine too.
Oh, you have to now. But in terms of fans, somebody I'm a very big fan of is our girl Brat Pitt. Yep, Letterboxd user Brat Pitt. She's fucking awesome, and she comes in with 2.5 stars for good old Unfriended, saying,
"I love this review."
What is the truest horror of Unfriended? A. Vengeful computer ghosts that forces you to commit suicide. B. The mental gymnastics that bullies go through to convince themselves that they are good people. Or C. Shitting your pants in public on camera. They're all pretty bad. That's why she's the best. She's great. Yeah, fucking love her.
All her reviews are super funny.
Mm-hmm. Follow user Brat Pitt, please. She's our Roger Ebert. So, and finally, C.S. Walski with 1 sad star, quote unquote. If getting drunk and shitting your pants was a reason to kill yourself, I never would have survived my 20s. But with that, Unfriended, as you can summarize here, has its fans. It's kind of goofy.
Its foes.
And it made a lot of money.
It made a shit ton of money.
Exactly.
I'm so glad there's only one sequel and not 27.
Yeah, well, because that second one didn't make a lot of money. It made money-ish.
I mean, it didn't make this money, but...
No, but, like, they wanted this money. They're like, yeah, they wanted this money. But what do you think of Unfriended from 2013, 14?
I think it's perfectly fun.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, okay. Like, it's fun. Like, it's not, like, I still prefer Dark Web. But they're both perfectly fun movies,
mm-hmm.
You know? I think yeah, we've been over this. We talked about this when we did Dark Web. Check out our Dark Web episode.
Yes.
But, no, like, I think I just like Dark Web because I like...
You got the premise, huh?
Yeah.
The premise is pretty solid.
It's such a cool concept. Because, and also, like, deep web shit is such a, like, hot topic right now.
Oh, it's fascinating. Yeah, it's definitely a lot more contemporary than this, yes. than this 2014 attempt.
Well, first off, having my computer, which I do believe this is a 2015 MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
Having this in front of the my computer and the user interface, I was like, Chrome doesn't look like this anymore. Because, like, last time I watched this movie, I did not have a Mac. And this is my first Mac that I've ever had. Not to, like, you know, toot my own horn. but yeah, so watching it and being like, it doesn't, those apps don't look like that anymore kind of took me out of it. Because if I hadn't had a Mac, I wouldn't know the difference, really.
Oh, that's interesting, because around the time when this movie was made, I worked for the news organizations at my college and shit.
Right.
And we used Macs. We used Macs. I used Final Cut to edit, and I used Chrome on the Mac with our incognito windows and all this shit. Like, it. So I kind of felt some, like, attachment, I guess, to this attempt at replicating the UI a little
bit. Gotcha.
Like, yeah, yeah. So I remember good old early 2010s Mac. I remember what that software looked like.
I think for me... Also, what, just, like, seeing, like, old school Facebook.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little weird. Same colors, but, like, that the rectangularness of it is weird.
That, or even old school, just, like, Spotify. I was like, oh, my God, Spotify used to look like that? Like, I think I blacked it out.
I did, too. That's not smooth.
Like, I was like, I can't believe it used to look like that. Because now it's all, like, black and sexy and sleek. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's all one color.
All the buttons are big and, yeah, like, not a shitty font.
No, it's not a shitty font. And, like, they had, like, home buttons. And it was, like, a colored home. And, they all had different colors. And I was like, ew, who designed that?
More like Stupefy.
Okay, did you come up with the title? Whatever this shitty name was.
I already forgot the title.
Cyber whatever.
Cybernatural.
Cybernatural.
Yeah, let's talk about Cybernatural. Anyways. Okay, so I personally really like this movie. I don't know why. I don't know why
what
I like
about
this
it?
Movie. I think the teenage bullshit is fun as hell.
Okay, fair.
Like, I think it's so... teenagey. It's so weird. It's so, there's something about their frantic little, like, this is the most important thing in my life. Like, that kind of...
It's true. It is, like, life-alteringly important. Like,
yes.
All of their shit.
And they get rid of the shittiest ones early on. So, like, all the, like, the real dummies. I'm like, oh, good, they're dead. Oh. Or they're boring, so they're dead
they're
and they're gone.
Yeah.
Like, it leaves the interesting ones in there long enough that I'm, like, in the movie the whole time.
Yeah. I think for me, it's just, like, the... Like, it's just that perfect amalgamation of teenage dumbassery where
yes.
It's like they think that the person that they are dating is the person they are going to be with for the rest of their life, and like they are the only thing that matters, and it's just, and like that, like, teenage love where like they're all obsessed with each other,
and they're all little liars too.
They're all little fucking liars.
Yeah, it's some Romeo and Juliet bullshit
right
here.
Well, also, like, it's like, okay, her, Shelley, or that's the actress's name.
Blair?
Blair, yes.
Her pledging her fake virginity?
Yeah, her non-existent virginity, which virginity is a social construct anyway, but that's a conversation for another day.
No, but her boy was like, oh, I'm the one. You were doing this.
Yeah. And he was like, but then, like, when he found out that, like, she had had sex with someone else and decided that, he, you know, she's like, no, you know what? We don't work well. Which sometimes you think it's gonna work, and then you fuck, and then it's just like, nope.
Or sometimes the first fuck is great, and number two blows. And you're like, what the fuck? What was it, like, a good night where we drunk? Like, what happened?
It was just a fluke.
Uh-huh. It happens.
It happens.
See, she, but she had an adult situation, but
she was a teenager.
She's a minor.
And when you get into your 20s, sometimes that just happens. And then you just have to say, and then you kind of just both look at each other, get nachos, and call it a night.
Yeah.
Like,
Or they walk downstairs on their own. You're not taking to their car at all. You're like, oh, you know where the street is. That's great.
Awesome. Because you've been here before. Because you fucked before. Yeah. Deuces. No. But seriously, like, the... Yeah. No. She's in an adult situation as a teenager. And we are getting way too... we're focusing way too much on this. But,
like, that's why it's fun. I think it's so funny how dumb their problems are.
No. Yeah. Because they're stupid teenager problems. Like, you're watching it as an adult, as who may or may not have been in, like, not in the same exact situation. But
you can understand.
You can.
In context.
Right, but you would have handled it so much better.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, definitely. But, I mean, like, also, like, they do some, like, I think shady enough shit to each other where you're like, ooh, juicy.
Well, yeah.
Stealing $800 or ratting the guy out to the cops and, like, shit like that.
Wrecking the car. Like, I'm just like, is this, like... Like,
is this real rich
house?
Kid problems?
Yeah.
Is this rich kid problems?
This is rich kid problems.
In, like, Fresno? Is this the Fresno lifestyle here?
Lifestyles.
Who has $800 in Fresno? That's stupid. Sorry, Fresno listeners. We love you that you listen to our podcast. I know you popped up here and there.
When
your 2G Wi-Fi is fine.
That one day when the sky is super clear. There's no light. There's no pollution, even though there's always pollution in Fresno. Oh, man. No, but seriously, though, like...
Just this funny, just like, oh, the heavens have opened up and we can chat like normal people.
And then the next day, the fog returns.
Mm-hmm.
See you in 2 years, Fresno. No, seriously, though, like, these, like, rich kid problems, like, it makes you forget that they're in fucking Fresno. Because, like, anyone who's from California, like, even though it's just like, oh, we're in California. Like, anyone who's outside of California, I love this trope, by the way. Mm-hmm. Also, as someone who grew up on the internet, I had a lot of friends outside of California.
Yeah.
Basically, like, there's this running stereotype that it's like, I surf to school. Like,
oh, dude, okay. Bringing it back to that, I remember growing up in the internet age and learning that everybody hated California.
Learning that you're hated for just where you live.
I'm like, dude, I live inland. I have to drive.
You lived in fucking, like...
In Riverside, dude. And I was like, we'd have to drive like an hour and something to get to a beach and park there and spend the day there. And Papa's, you know, get sand in your shoes. You have sand in your shoes for an hour going back home.
Yeah. And then you have to, yeah.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah, I don't know. Again, yeah.
The second you say you live in California, even, like, this is even when I lived in Northern California or mm-hmm. lived in the Central Valley, the second you say you live in California, everyone automatically assumes you live in Los Angeles.
They're like, ooh, Hollywood.
Yeah.
I'm like, hopefully.
They assume you live in Beverly Hills mm-hmm. and you have about $20 million currently.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, these fucking people.
Even though, like... 60 billion people live here.
And I love how they're always like, and then the state's gonna go under at any moment. Like, bitch, we're in a surplus. Like, and we get all kinds of biomes. So you know what? Get mad at California because we got everything.
Okay.
Haunted fridge.
But seriously, like, or like when I lived in San Diego specifically, because that was my biggest irk when mm-hmm. I lived in San Diego, is like very, very rarely did... musicians ever come to San Diego for like the big ones, the ones that I wanted to see. So it was always LA, and I was just like, I'm down here, just go further south.
It's like, but we have to get through Orange County, madam. And you're like, fuck.
Yeah. Which, by the fucking way, quick election aside, Orange County is blue now.
Oh, it was blue in the midterms too. That's so weird. Oh, that's weird.
I was looking at it and I was like,
California hippie dippies are spreading around, aren't they?
I was texting Caitlin, hi Caitlin, and I was just like, it's because I moved here.
Yeah.
My single mm-hmm. voting ass.
Orange County's going the Texas way. Oh my God, that's
funny. My gosh. That was also something that I saw where it's like Austin.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Just Austin, and mm-hmm. then everything around it is red.
It's like fucking Helm's Deep over there.
Like Helm's Deep, you fucking nerd.
Just staving them off.
Just barely doing what they can.
So, okay. This is good. So, overall, I like this movie a lot.
Okay.
And it's rewatchable to me.
Interesting.
In terms of just how dumb and important these teenagers are. how just, like, it's pie in the sky for everything. Yeah. And they all fucking get murked.
Right.
And they all die.
They think...
It's great.
But, again, like, these very, like, giving teenagers... Do you remember being 16?
Oh, I... Don't... Ugh.
Do you remember being 16
years old? I try not to, Alex. I try not to remember being that with AIM. With yeah. AIM. At AIM. And fucking Zanga and no, shit. No,
like, this is how stupid I was when I was 16. I had a UTI and I didn't tell my mom because I thought she would think I was sexually active. And it traveled up into my fucking kidneys and I had to go to the ER. That's how fucking stupid I was when I was 16. Yeah. I was recounting the story the other day and I was just like, oh, I remember being that stupid. Mm-mm-mm. Where you just sit there and wish your problems go away.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And you just wish, like yeah.
Even maybe though I'll stop being so red.
Yeah, maybe, like, I'll just stop, like, being miserable and in pain. No, it traveled up into my fucking kidneys.
That's scary.
See? Oh, no, yeah. And then I sat there with my dad at the ER watching Smoking Aces.
That's funny. I remember having, like, a Zanga page that was essentially, like, a fucking virtual diary. Zanga. It was essentially a virtual diary.
Zanga.
But I would, like, make vague allusions that I thought were vague about, like, the problems I was having. But it was really just emo bullshit.
Thinly veiled,
but, pretty thickly, like, apparent.
Oh, my gosh. You remember LiveJournal?
Didn't use LiveJournal. No.
I caught the tail end of LiveJournal. Mm-hmm. There's also DeviantArt.
DeviantArt, yep.
I used DeviantArt.
Mm-hmm. I was around a lot of platforms. I was in the GameStop forums.
I wasn't big on... I was on one forum and my entire life was on this one particular forum and I'm not.
What was it?
It was for a band.
Mm. That makes sense. Okay. Yeah,
it was a band forum and wow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Gotta go back in time.
Different time. What was the Huey Lewis in the News forum? I get you. Oh, Alex. Way ahead of your time on that one.
No, it was not.
Yeah, I get it.
No, I was just, you know, I simply
irresistible. I know. No, it's I bet there's a lot of good discussion.
No, I had to travel back in my brain to go, oh my God. That was a shit show. Oh, Jesus Christ.
See, but again, those GameStop forums, I learned that people thought California was just like this hellhole of either your Beverly Hills or your like Compton.
There's two places in the entirety of California, and it's this very specific. It's Beverly Hills or Compton.
And either way, the state was going to tank no matter what was going to happen. Like, even if we had the surplus and paid for everybody's freaking shit.
Were you on Reddit at this point?
No, that's the thing. This GameStop forum. You didn't just talk about games. They had a game section. They had particular game sections.
And then they had
the off-topic section. And that was my first. I was like, well, let's see what off-topic is. I'm tired of talking about fucking Nintendo. And I was like...
There's more.
Well, what's going on here? What kind of discussions go? And it would be like random shit. Like, I remember my favorite post ever was somebody did. You ever watch Doug back in the day? Nickelodeon's yeah. Doug? Somebody did a Patty Mayonnaise tribute post. And the comment thread was the most meme, fucking hilarious shit I had ever seen. Everybody was just like, God fucking damn, I missed that Patty Mayonnaise. Like, it was like that. And I was like, young me was like, that's hilarious.
Well, this is nostalgic.
Different times.
This is nostalgic.
So, wait. But see, that's pre-2013 now that this movie was made in 2013. Alex, what feels most 2013 about this movie? And, of course, let's continue the nostalgia train. Let's go. What's going on?
For me, I think the most 2013 thing about this is everyone... I mean, there's a lot. I mean, obviously, the interface.
Yeah.
Like, I think is what dates it the most. Because, like we were just talking about, like, it's mm-hmm. just, like, the Spotify, the Facebook, like...
I feel like using chat boxes also. That was so weird. Because it's, like, I feel like chats are built into UI elements now, or they're, like, a whole app.
Yeah, so Blair chatting with Mitch, for example, yes. Like, every time she opened it, like, the previous chats were gone, which always confused me. Weird. That was iMessage.
Oh, was it?
It was.
Never used iMessage back in the day. Maybe yeah. Maybe not. Mm-mm.
That was an iMessage thing. So.
Does it still look very similar?
No.
Yeah.
I can show you what it looks like when I, because, like, I use it
You use it frequently, yeah.
Yeah, I use it to talk to you most of the time.
You're like, fuck off. Well, that was a very quick text.
Yeah, because I'm typing.
You're using it with your hands. Yeah. I get it, yeah.
Well, like, how else do you text?
Huh?
How else do you text?
You don't text with your elbows? I'm in the car. I'm just like, maps, fucking.
Fucking work.
Just hit the mic button. Come on. Okay, now let's go to Alex's house. Oh, my God.
What about you? Because here's the thing for me. When this movie came out, Well, okay, this came out in 2014, so I was in college at this point. Mm-hmm. This is one of the first movies I saw.
Your prime demo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw it at the University Theater in Riverside.
Good old UCR. No, I don't know. This was after my college time, like just a little bit afterwards, but I can't really say what's so 2030, except everything is just a little blocky and a little slower and a little weirder than you would have.
Even the Skype interface
Yes.
I'm just like, oh,
Or just them using Skype is fucking weird. I don't use Skype no more.
Who does? It's dead. Well, actually, no, that's a lie. I use Skype all the time.
Oh, do you?
Well, not. I use it... Okay, I don't use it all the time, but, like, for example, like, one of my really near and dear friends is in the UK right now, so Skype is good.
Default over there, I would imagine.
Well, it's not default, but it's easier to use than, like, creating a Zoom room.
Okay.
You know?
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, like, we both have Skype. Also, we both had each other on Skype since about 2010.
Okay. Decade. Full-on decade of Skype usage.
Oh, my God. It might even be earlier. Oh, I want to say it could be 2009.
Oh, boy. Different time. Oh, 2009. I can't even go back that far in my mind anymore. That's weird.
That was my freshman year of high school.
Oof. Okay. Well, I was way out of high school by that point. Anyways.
That's because we got that age gap.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. But we're adults now, so fuck it. Anyways. If you saw this in theaters, wait, you did see this in theaters?
Yes.
Oh, was this for
me? This was going to be for you.
Okay, slap it over to me.
Okay, so if you saw this in theaters, because we kind of talked about this before, I wanted to know if you had liked it or if this was your first desktop movie.
Oh no, I saw this in like on demand. Literally, my little 9-year-old nephew was like, "Oh, Frontertron," and I'm like, stupid." And it was like,
and then you sat down and you started. Just sucked in.
I got sucked in.
Yeah.
And like again, family members said coming in. Oh, and Frontertron. I said, what the hell?
How did everybody
know about this movie? Like, I don't know what happened, but yeah, we all sat watched it. I thoroughly enjoyed it the first time, and then when it was on TV, I just watch it. I'd be like, oh, slap it on. Unfriended's on, wow.
And then everyone just gathers around to listen to the tales of, you know, don't bully Blair, people and into committing suicide.
Fake virginity pledge. Yeah.
Stupid! So I don't know if that's like a real thing that like people actually do. Maybe in Fresno. But, yeah.
Little economy over there. You gotta get any kind of currency you can.
I'm gonna promise my virginity. Like, what?
I'm saving myself a very uncomfortable, kind of painful experience.
Or, like,
the first
just
time.
In a very awkward, like, like, whatever. Like, that just sounds weird, but whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, I did see it in theaters.
Yes, how was the theater experience?
Fun. Like,
was it? Was the crowd into it?
Here's the thing, though. It's like, I started becoming obsessed with going to the movies in college because I was down the street from, the University Theater in Riverside because I went to UCR.
Oh, yeah.
And on Sundays, they had $5 movie tickets.
Ooh. God, I miss those IU fucking deals, dude. I do that, too. In UCR, but all the theaters did $5 at some day in the week.
Yeah, and it was Sunday, so I would go and, like, you know, when I was in college and had no money, I would go and do that. And, like, that was, like, the shit.
Fuck yeah.
And then I'd go other times, and then obviously there was the $2 theater in Moreno Valley, but...
Oh, I saw Paranormal Activity 3 over there. That was great.
Right next to the Polly's Pies.
And they had to check everybody's purses and go through a metal detector before you went in there.
Oh, they didn't have that when I went.
I saw a metal detector in one of them.
Hmm.
It might have been a different Moreno Valley theater now that I think about it.
Hmm.
But there was a metal detector.
Not the Harkins?
I'm not sure.
Could be the Harkins.
Probably. Because they did also check everybody's bags.
Yeah, the Harkins one. The one that one does. I don't think the $2 one does. Because that one has like the POS system for like concessions is like cash only. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
They are outdated.
It's a little bit ghetto, I gotta say. Fun theater experience though.
It's so fun. It's all on like the first floor, all like one level seats. Like it's an old school movie theater.
Your seats are tiny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You were putting your arms on the rest thingy, like all like a fucking T-Rex. Yeah.
And then if you're bigger than like a size 12, you just have to like pry your thighs out.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. But no, I saw it in Riverside, and I was just like sitting there with my Vanilla Coke, which is my staple movie theater drink.
Okay.
And I was just sitting there, and like it scared the shit out of me.
Really?
Yeah, it like really, I was just like, what's going on? Oh my God. Like it really got me because like it was also like my very first desktop movie. Mm-hmm. So I thought the concept was cool as shit.
Yeah, I thought so too. Like when I watched it, I haven't seen too many desktop movies though.
Well, that brings me to my next question. Unfriended went on to inspire many other desktop thrillers, including the sequel, the Zoom horror movie that just came out that the title's currently escaping me that I did see that was actually freaky as hell.
Oh, I gotta check that one out.
And it came out during quarantine. It's all through Zoom. They talk about quarantine in it.
Wow.
And the one with John Cho.
I wanted to watch that one.
Actually. Also saw that one in theaters.
Was it good?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not like it is a desktop thriller, but yeah. It's not a scary movie.
Yeah, yeah, no. There's more of a mystery story aspect to it, yes. I imagine. Yes.
So how do you feel about the genre? Even though is this the only kind of desktop?
This dark web, and I think that's it. I haven't really seen maybe one more, but I can't quite pinpoint it, and I don't know if it was like the whole thing.
Yeah, this is kind of like my favorite sub genre because it's like a sub genre of found footage.
Yeah, I mean it kind of works. That's the thing. Like both movies worked pretty well.
Yeah.
For what they were, I think just technology moving ahead kind of fucks it up a little bit.
Yeah.
But I mean
it dates it.
It's hard to avoid that. Like it yeah. really is. I think it's an interesting genre, though. I feel like you can do a lot with it because, yes. I mean, even between this franchise, the films themselves were pretty drastically different. They felt different.
Oh, yeah. That's what I liked about it. I think, like, even the Zoom one that, oh, gosh, I'm going to get so much shit.
Zoombie.
It's not. Oh, gosh.
Zoombie. Come on, a zombie film?
No.
Entirely desktop? Be fun.
Okay, it's called Host. It's called Host.
I will check it out.
And it's on Shudder. But it is, and the cover photo looks exactly like the Unfriended one.
Of course it does. Let me see. Oh, that is like fucking one-to-one. Jesus. But
I don't think it... Yeah, it's different. However... Yeah, this is the horror movie filled with Zoom. But yeah, it is on, it's also, I guess they moved it over to Amazon Prime.
Cool.
But we have both of them.
We're good. No, we're stacked here.
Our bases are covered.
We have logins at the Wazoo. Yeah, 100%. We can watch shit on Stars.
Like, honestly. We have a Philo login. Like,
oh my God. We do?
Yeah.
We have a Philo login?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch some shit. Oh, hell yes.
Yeah, my dad has one.
That is great.
Oh, man.
So, you're digging this genre. This is one of your upcoming faves.
I would say it's something that I enjoy. I don't think it's one of those things where it doesn't necessarily have to be super highbrow or super smart. I think it's a really good popcorn genre.
Exactly. The only thing I take kind of issue with is sometimes it is hard for me to stay focused on a UI-based screen. It's a little hard sometimes.
Is it, though? Because, like, we do it all day.
But I just moved to a secondary UI on my phone because I switch between UIs all day.
All day. I guess, that I do understand. Although, it was very funny, and the irony was not lost on me, like, going from, like, TV screen that had a huge, like, MacBook UI going,
had a whole
to
interface,
my,
yeah.
going to my smaller one where because I was working on this episode
and
while I was
actually using
watching.
It.
Yeah,
and actually
I was just
using
like,
it.
It was, like, this moment where I was just like, gee, I sure hope I don't have a ghost in here. And like I was like looking at my computer
like, ooh, look at your RAM management now.
Yeah, after you deleted an episode, you stupid bitch.
Slashing our freaking content. I blame the ghost. I blame the fridge ghost. I think it's getting better
and then,
at this.
Yeah, you know, my blinds were going all rickety this morning and I was like, this is annoying.
Oh,
it's my ghost.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Oh my gosh, you want to hear something very funny and I thought you would appreciate. I was making breakfast and you know how like when I turn on the lights, sometimes takes a couple minutes for them to turn all the way on?
Yeah.
They did that and I stopped what I was doing and I was like, thanks, ghost. And I went back to what I was doing. It's not a ghost. My house is not haunted. But you mentioning that it was a ghost, I was just like, thanks, ghost. And I was just that's awesome.
That gives it a little bit of flavor, though.
it gives it a little bit of like a... Mm-hmm.
That's why the cats are here, to help protect.
Yeah, they have to.
They know better. Like, ghosts are scared of cats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's and I have two of them. Mm-hmm. I am loaded. I carry them around like this, and I'm like, try me, motherfucker.
Cats on your shoulder while you're cooking.
They cannot stand still long enough.
The stove is not as hot as it normally is. It's a fucking ghost. Cooking my eggs all slow and shit.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so for a final warm-up close to this, you have to replace one character with a famous final girl. Which one is it, and are they dying?
Sydney Prescott, and she's not dying.
I was going to say Sydney Prescott, too, you son of a bitch.
She will beat this fucking ghost.
Okay, my mindset also is I'm just like, Sydney Prescott would never bully anyone a day in her life.
No, she wouldn't.
So she like probably wouldn't even fit in to begin with.
No, you're right. Who's a bitchy final girl? Who would, you can kind of see bullying somebody. Maybe Jennifer Love Hewitt in
I know what she did last summer. Yeah, because she killed someone, so she would fit right in.
She's a little shady. Yeah, she's not afraid to, like, I mean, no, she is afraid. She's totally afraid, but she would make the move to be like, well, I am the one who recorded it. Like, she kind of can see her fitting that bill a little bit. So, you know, replace Sydney Prescott with
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Okay. Yes. Her that or Baby Firefly from House of a Thousand Corpses.
I haven't seen that one. I haven't seen House of a Thousand Corpses.
Or Devil's Rejects?
Nope. I am zombie deficient.
Oh my god. You are missing out, my friend.
We'll put it on the fucking list.
Oh. And then, now that I know this, it's going
slap
on.
Slap it on the list. How about that?
And I have.
How about you slap it on the list?
I have the option. I have flexibility.
You
because
do.
I
you have
still
slots
have
open.
Exactly.
Because some of us put our slots in early.
Okay, this year I have like all of my selections through March. All some of us like to be surprised. Anyway,
Jesus Christ. she'd be your girl.
Yeah, she'd be your girl. Baby Firefly. Yeah.
Baby Firefly. What are the characteristics of Baby Firefly that would help her?
She's psycho.
Like, oh, that'd be fun.
Like, she's like, yeah.
She's like, yeah, I fucking did it. Kill yourself again, you ghost.
Yeah, that's pretty much exactly right. Like, she, like, doesn't, she gives zero fucks. She's super, like, aggressive. Like, she is, like, crazy as all hell. Mm-hmm. I love her. She's great. You're gonna love her, too.
Okay. All right, dig it. I see. And I think Jennifer Love Hewitt would drop the ball way earlier, and everybody would be pissed at her for, like, 30 extra minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
And be like, oh, why the fuck did you upload this shit? Now we're getting haunted. And she's like, I don't fucking know.
She's a one-to-one exchange for
Blair?
For Blair.
Yeah. I think Blair's a little, oh, no. They're kind of both sneaky. God, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It would just be like, but then you get Jennifer Love Hewitt in there, and I like looking at Jennifer Love Hewitt, so you know what? I'll take it.
You're going to like looking at Baby Firefly, too.
Yeah.
This is Rob Zombie's wife. All right. Kill the film.
Blender.
Me too.
Yeah, Blender. Blender's
pretty
fucked up.
We are in too much agreement.
But also the curling iron.
Me too.
Fucked up too.
That was my other honorable mention.
Yeah.
Those are the two good ones.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other ones are, like, not as creative and kind of boring.
No, they're a little, like, look at what we can do with the medium. Ooh, lights are off. Ooh, look who's dead. And then those ones were just like, look at this. You can't turn away. We're just streaming some gory-ass shit in your fucking face.
Yeah, watching a curling iron down someone's throat, I'm just like, seeing that, like, I'm just like, that hurt. Like, I've burned my fingers on like, straightening irons before.
And they had like that other, like that little meme that he sent. It was like, maybe she'll shut the fuck up.
Now? Yeah. And first of all, whoever made the memes for this don't know how to create memes at all.
No. This is a solid 2013. Memes are in their infancy, and it's like people aren't quite clever yet.
Well, no, because like the memes were just like, I was just like, this is stupid. Also, like the traditional like block letter.
Yeah.
Like, and I was just
with the letterboxing around it and shit.
Yep.
Oh,
man. So bad. Anyway. Ready to rate this bitch?
Let's do it.
Rate this film out of 5 outdated operating systems.
Ooh, out of 5 outdated operating systems, I will give this. I'm going to give it a 3.5. 3.5 outdated operating systems, I think. Yeah. Definitely.
Interesting.
This
okay.
This is a Windows Vistas, for sure.
Giving it a
2.5. 2.5, down the middle.
Windows 95.
Windows 95, okay. All right, there you go. That works.
No, yeah. I mean, I like this movie. It's perfectly enjoyable. It's a great popcorn flick, but it's, like, nothing, like, super spectacular. Like, mm-hmm. blows me out of the water. It's fun to watch, but... Yeah.
See, I'm gripped when I watch it. I don't know what the bullshit is. Maybe, I don't know.
Maybe it's because, like, I watch too many teenagers scream, like, in real time, like, each other, like... I don't know, but like some of it I was just like, okay, I get it. Like, yeah. Again, maybe I'm just like too close, like too
I think close I'm to pretty my removed from it. Yeah, I don't watch teenager scream ever.
Well, no. I mean, like, maybe it's because like I'm too close to my teenage years still.
Yes, no, definitely. Yeah, I would, you know, my friends were all just assholes to each other. Yeah, there's no screaming
no,
like this.
No, like, thankfully now it's fine, but I do remember the occasional catty bickering on Skype back in the day. Mm-hmm. Nothing at this level. I never stole $800, turned anyone into the cops, or, you know, crashed anyone's car. Mm-hmm. I didn't have my license until I was 21, but...
Yeah, see, so definitely missed some of the major milestones.
Yeah, I also wasn't rich, so...
Yeah, or in Fresno. Thankfully.
Yeah, thank Christ. Anyway, any final thoughts? Next week.
Oh, yeah, next week we already recorded it. So next week, you guys are gonna... It's a special week in, you know, they only get so many of these throughout a year. So, yeah, it's gonna be... It's pretty obvious what it is.
Yeah, the at the end of next week's episode, we hinted this episode.
Yes. Okay, that's true. Sorry, guys. We had to move some stuff around.
Because I fucked up.
Yes.
So at the end of next week's episode, I'm just like, and we talk about this next week. Meh, meh, meh. And it's totally this episode. So...
We're going back in time.
You know how many times I make that reference? Like, in the past month, I've made it a couple times. Like, I sing Back in Time a couple times in previous episodes. I don't know why. I think I've just been listening
to a lot. It's because he spent all that time in the Huey Lewis in the News Forum.
That's
why.
Do not start that rumor about me. That is not true.
What?
The band that I was in the forums for is actually more embarrassing.
Okay. Right, take your word for it.
But, anyway... But for the week after next week's episode, I don't know if you want to give the hint now.
Oh, it's a little festive.
I'll just say that.
I will say it's festive and leave it at that. We got a guest going. So, yes.
Yes. So, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. That was Unfriended from 2014. Sorry for the technical difficulties. Thank you for bearing with us. We know times are weird and uncertain and scary.
Before we quit it, how uncertain, how weird, how weird is it? Still no results?
Yeah.
No results yet. Okay, cool.
Nevada is taking their sweet time.
Bitches.
So hopefully by the time this episode comes out on Friday, we will have some clarity, but I hope wherever you are staying safe and taking care of yourself and your loved ones and community and all of that.
And wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and getting tested if you're going out and doing, you know, people stuff. So
and doing people. If you're doing too many people, get tested also.
Get the other kind of test.
Yeah.
Just get tested for COVID. Just, you know, mm-hmm. keep your shit, you know, safe.
Real eloquent one there, huh? Get your shit. Just fucking do it.
I'm not even drunk. I have been stone cold sober this entire fucking time. It's been a weird week. Anyway, yes. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on iTunes. It means the absolute world to us, and you guys are absolute rock stars for doing it. It makes our fucking day every single time.
Yes,
so, please keep doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Horror People Pod, and then you can find us on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. And then if you want to find Anthony and cyberstalk him, you can find him on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And then if you want to see what I'm up to, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop.
Yeah, fucking do it. Barely post anyways.
Yeah. Until then, stay safe and don't bully people.
No. Do not bully anyone unless they deserve it or look stupid.
I was going to say, unless they're neo-Nazis or, you know, outwardly viciously Republican.
Well, the neo-Nazis are the dumbest looking motherfuckers, so I think we're content. We're good here.
Fair enough. All right. Stay safe, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.